this is a parable that could cause one to swear off parables in general. For in many ways, there are more questions than answers. For in this story, there is indifference, seemingly unwarranted violence and murder, radical hospitality where all good and bad are welcome. Then we have unexplained punishment, seemingly for poor wardrobe choices. What are we to make of this story? How is this like the kingdom of heaven? Is this a kingdom of heaven we want to enter? Well, I have to confess to you that I have never in my life killed the mail carrier when I received an invitation to something I did not want to attend. Nor have I killed or thrown out prospective guests who refused me and burned down their houses. Which leads me to believe that Jesus is exaggerating just a bit in order to get our attention and to make a point. Because remember, this is a parable. So perhaps we need to set aside those attention-grabbing extremes in order to get at the heart of the parable. So we have two groups who have been invited to the royal wedding banquet. The one thing they hold in common is that neither earned the right to come. Neither group deserved to be invited. Both groups were invited because of the gracious hospitality of the king. The first group, for whatever reason, didn't care about the invitation. Perhaps they thought they had more important things to do. Or maybe they didn't like the oxtail soup the king served at all his meals. Either way, when faced with this invitation, they chose to walk away. The second group didn't care that they were the king's second choice. They didn't care. Good and bad, they made their way to the banquet, and perhaps they knew they didn't deserve to go. Perhaps this was the dream of a lifetime, going into the palace of the king. Perhaps they thought they could slip a few pieces of royal silver in their pocket and make some money. Remember, good and bad were there. Whatever their motivation, they threw on their wedding robes and entered the great hall filled with tables overflowing with food and drink. This would be a night they would talk about for the rest of their lives. The primary difference between the two groups is that one showed up and one didn't. The power of presence, of accepting the invitation. Knowing that they did nothing to make themselves worthy of such an invitation, the second group accept nonetheless. The invitation was pure grace, and they were there to receive it. And that's all the king was asking. Just come to the party. Set aside whatever you think is important in your busy schedule, rearrange your priorities, and accept this gracious invitation. Except for one poor soul who obviously did not get the dress code memo. He did not have a wedding robe on, and the king noticed. He was asked by the king how he got in there without the proper attire. Well, the poor man just sits there with his teeth in his mouth. Maybe he's still chewing on a bit of meat or a bite of fruit, but he's speechless, we're told. Whereupon he is tossed out of the party. Now, we've often assumed what got him thrown out was that he wasn't properly dressed. But what if the reason is that he didn't have an answer? You know, we've always made excuses for him. You know, in Bible study groups over the years, I've heard many of them. The students who felt bad for this guy. Maybe he didn't own a wedding garment. Maybe he didn't have time to get one or the money to get one. Maybe he came straight from work in order to not be late. Whatever reason we give, he still came unprepared for the occasion. But I wonder, and hang with me here, I wonder if what got him thrown out was his silence. We are told he was speechless. Often people are speechless for a reason. They're overcome with emotion. They're intimidated. After all, this was the king talking to him. Their mind goes blank. It doesn't say he had no answer or that he started to answer. It says he was speechless. Now, since this is a parable, we can We can have a little literary license with it. What if we were to imagine what he might have said that could have prevented his expulsion? What if he said, "I was hungry, and I trusted that I could be fed good food here." Or, "I was lonely and trusted that you would welcome me." What if he said, "I was thirsty and believed you would give me something to drink." Or, "I was sad and grieving and heard music and laughter and trusted that you would share your joy with me." Or, "I was lost and I saw your open door and trusted that I would find direction here." Since he didn't need to be worthy to accept the invitation and enter the hall, I have a hard time thinking that it was his improper clothing that got him thrown out. Perhaps it was that he didn't trust the king enough to tell him why he was without a wedding garment, and that he trusted the king to be gracious with him. Now, I may be totally off base here, so, you know, don't think, you know, don't go out and tell everybody what a whack job I am. But for me, that interpretation is getting closer to the Jesus I have come to know and love in Scripture, as well as the kingdom of the God of grace and mercy. There's still accountability. The man needed to explain himself. But had he trusted the king enough to do so, perhaps he would have truly enjoyed the feast. If it had been about the clothes, I don't think the king would have even asked for an explanation. This rendering, this understanding, at least for me, offers judgment for those who turn their backs and walk away, accountability for those who find themselves unprepared, but grace and welcome that overwhelms all of it, where all are invited, where all are welcome to the joyful feast the king has prepared. And therein lies the hope. So where do we find ourselves in the midst of this? You know, that's part of what we do when we read parables. We find ourselves. Well, for some of us, it might be with the first group, if we haven't taken to heart or fully appreciated the invitation of grace and eternal life that's been extended to us. Perhaps we're a little bit indifferent to it. We have had more important things to attend to, or too many irons in the fire to be attentive to this one invitation. For others of us, it might be with the second group, for whom receiving the invitation was nowhere on our bingo cards of what might happen in this life. Invited into the presence of the king, invited to feast at his table, invited to celebrate his joy with him. Sure, wow, I'll accept. I had never dreamed that would happen to me. But then, will we trust the host enough to share our struggles and our shortcomings, believing that the one who prepared the feast really wants us there, really wants abundant life for us, wants us there in the banquet hall? Now, just like last week's parable, this one is told under the looming shadow of the cross. This is Holy Week. The audience is still the religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, those who exceed the demands of the law in their efforts to be faithful, those for whom words like grace and invitation are not nearly as meaningful as the law and being worthy and deserving of God's favor, where all the burden of righteousness falls on the individual to measure up to God. And Jesus, in his great love for them, in his desire to redeem those religious leaders, tries one more time to explain how the reign of God will be, how grace and welcome abound, and all one needs to do is accept the invitation and trust the king. It is as if they are the man at the feast, but in the wrong clothes, and he asks them, "Friends, how did you get in here like that?" Then imagine, instead of being speechless, they said any number of reasons they trusted that if they just showed up, the king would care for them. Then the king would say, "I'm so glad that you responded to my invitation. I'm so glad you are here. You are worthy." If only they and we could understand that. it would have been enough. It would be enough for us. So friends, how did we get here as we are? Because we knew we were in need of something we could not provide on our own, and trusted that if we answered the invitation, God would welcome us to the banquet hall. Amen.